and welcome once again to Health Tips from Janet. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed clinical nutritionist, and I'm here today to talk about certain groups of individuals who may be in a higher risk category for a certain nutrient depletion. One of the nutrients that gets a lot of attention and people seem to be very, very focused on maintaining good calcium levels, they may not necessarily know that there are different risk groups that are at a higher risk of calcium depletion or minimal calcium content. It's very, very interesting. The risk groups are those people who, women who are past menopause, higher risk for low calcium levels, people who don't consume any dairy products, people in the category following a vegan lifestyle. And it's very interesting because there has been research finding more than 40% of Americans don't get enough calcium. So if you are in any of these categories, postmenopausal women, don't consume dairy, following a vegan lifestyle, you might consider taking a calcium supplement. The necessary areas of your body for supplementing with calcium, or at least providing sufficient calcium from your diet, those areas would be certainly your skeleton. You need calcium for strong bones. The cavea that I tend to discuss with people who come to see me with regard to bone density is you must consume the calcium with the substances that allow your body to metabolize the calcium properly. So you need it for strong bones, you need it for nerve function, muscle relaxation and contraction. But the supplement combinations you should always look for, make sure that you're taking magnesium, in my opinion, at least equal amounts of magnesium to what calcium you're taking in. And then, of course, vitamins D and K2. Folic acid is an area that is very significant with regard to potential depletion and low levels of folic acid or folate circulating in your blood. There are very specific blood tests that will identify a folate deficiency and will identify your risk for different issues associated with folate deficiency. The high risk groups are those women who are pregnant or breastfeeding. Very, very important to be getting sufficient folic acid in the form of folate. It is always my recommendation for women who are considering becoming pregnant that they begin supplementing with folic acid prior to the beginning of pregnancy. It's in those very, very early weeks of pregnancy that folic acid in the form of folate is critically important when the nervous system of the fetus is developing. People who are using dialysis, people who have liver disease, or with certain medications. And in future health tips, I'll be discussing those medications that are rather common in depleting folic acid. The folic acid, as I mentioned, is crucial in preventing birth defects, those involving the nervous system. You need folic acid to metabolize amino acids. The area that I mentioned with regard to other issues outside of pregnancy, when you don't have enough folic acid in the form of folate, your homocysteine levels can increase. Those homocysteine levels can be very, very well balanced with B-complex, B12, and particularly folic acid. That buildup of homocysteine can be linked to an increased risk of stroke. In an indirect way, it can be connected to risk of heart attack and cardiovascular disease. Crucially important to maintain your levels of folic acid. Now, of course, you can get these things in whole grains, but to optimize your levels, very, very important to consider supplementation. It's very interesting because the next nutrient, iron, so many people choose to have a multivitamin that does not contain iron. My suggestion is look for multivitamins that do have iron, but you don't want more than 15 to 18 milligrams of iron. My perspective is that the minerals interact with one another, and when you don't have iron, there are certain metabolic processes that might need the presence of a small amount of iron. It's interesting because certainly we know that women of childbearing age through monthly menstruation are more likely to be deficient in iron, certainly those who become pregnant. Infants may very well have a certain type of anemia that does depend on iron, and underweight adolescents absolutely do need iron. Red blood cells are dependent on iron in order to carry certain required amounts of oxygen. Cellular energy production depends on iron. Immune function, healing, and growth and development in children. Very, very important to understand the amount of iron that's necessary for totally healthy, optimized function of your body. Magnesium is another nutrient that very, very often I see people dealing with a potential deficiency. And you may find that on your blood test, a regular serum blood test shows your magnesium level to be just fine. However, those people relying on that for the right level of magnesium, for the information about the right level of magnesium, you need to know that magnesium is not necessarily found in the serum blood. It is found within the cell. So a proper way of testing to see that your magnesium levels are optimized would be red blood cell magnesium levels. So who are the higher risk groups for magnesium deficiency? People who have diabetes, kidney disease, certain GI tract disease problems like irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, inflammation in your digestive tract, people who have been exposed to extreme stress for an extended period of time, those are individuals who really need to pay attention to magnesium intake. It is involved in literally hundreds of different types of metabolic processes, energy production, maintaining cell membrane function, the ability for the cell to take nutrients in and push out debris, metabolic debris. It is associated with the creation of proteins. Very, very important. My statement to people is, if you want to properly metabolize calcium, you absolutely need, in my view, equal, possibly higher levels of magnesium, depending on your calcium level and your red blood cell magnesium level. People who are stressed, and who isn't stressed these days? If you have insomnia, if you have different issues with possible muscle cramping, inability to relax your muscles, take a look at supporting your muscles and your whole body with a very, very high quality magnesium. What I tell people to do is you don't necessarily want to use magnesium oxide. You want to make sure that you have some form of chelated magnesium. That's magnesium bound to an amino acid. Okay, very, very interesting. Omega-3. Pretty much everybody you talk to these days is using omega-3 fish oils, and they're doing it for reduction of inflammation, brain chemistry, for a lot of different reasons. Okay, so it's very interesting that people who follow a vegan lifestyle who would not necessarily take in any fish or any fish source supplements. And there's a very scientific discussion about whether you can support your omega-3 levels, the DHA, EPA, those omega-3s in particular, if you can support those levels, say, with flaxseed oil or hemp seed oil or chia seed oil, any of those plant-based sources of oils provide a very, very small amount of omega-3, but the higher amounts of omega-6 and omega-9. The theory is that your body is able to convert the 6 and 9 into omega-3 as is needed. But there's a lot of other nutrients and digestive and metabolic processes required in order to maintain that level of omega-3 that's needed. The average diet really doesn't have enough omega-3 or very, very high intake of omega-6 and 9 and seriously low levels of omega-3. You need it for healthy membranes, for a proper inflammatory response. That inflammatory response that would be part of how your immune system works, if it's underactive, it's not working and doing the functions that it's meant to do. And if it's overactive, you have a very, very significant response, unfortunately, more in the range of an allergic response. You need it for your brain. Your nervous system requires healthy intake of omega-3. Your vision. How many people over the age of 50 are seeing significant changes in their vision? And unfortunately, they're not necessarily supporting vision properly with the optimized intake of omega-3. It's also very interesting. The genetic messages in your cells depend on significant intake of omega-3 fatty acids. My suggestion is certainly use fish oil. Very, very important. I suggest using sustainably harvested wild Alaskan salmon as the source of your fish oil. The reason for that is it is not a commodity that is overfished. The purity levels are significantly high. The purity is excellent. And you're going to get not only the omega-3s in sufficient amounts, but you're going to get a whole profile of other omegas as well. I can't stress strongly enough how important this is for vegans. So if you're not interested in consuming some sort of fish oil or having a little bit of fish as part of your diet, you might want to consider being very attentive to other oils. Hemp oil, hemp seed oil is one of my favorites. Flax seed oil, high lignin flaxseed oil is also an excellent choice. You need to make sure that all of your nutrient levels are optimized in order to be able to have the metabolism necessary to convert the omega-6 and the omega-9 into omega-3. Selenium. Oh, how many people are deficient in selenium, and it's so sad. And it's all of us Americans who are eating foods that are grown in selenium-deficient soils. If you are dealing with dialysis, if you have an inflammatory digestive disease, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, maybe you have reflux, maybe you have some sort of gastrointestinal inflammation, you need selenium. One of my favorite sources of selenium is Brazil nuts, but those people who are dealing with a digestive system that doesn't necessarily allow you to consume raw nuts and seeds, then that's not necessarily the best choice for you, so you might want to consider a selenium formula. My favorite source of selenium from a supplemental point of view is selenomethionine, so selenium combined with the amino acid methionine. Very, very helpful at supporting your selenium levels and allowing your body to protect healthy cells because you're supporting antioxidant function across the board. Antioxidant function from your supplements, antioxidant function from the foods that you are eating. Over the past 50 years, there has been a significant reduction in sperm quality and number, and the presence of selenium in the body is crucially important for proper development of sperm. So in this day and age of such difficulty with fertility, selenium would be an excellent supplement to be using on a regular basis for those men out there. Now, for the ladies who are having difficulty conceiving, the selenium may be just what you need to support thyroid function that is also associated with fertility. The most important, again, because of the number of cancer diagnoses around the country, is selenium has a very specific anti-cancer activity. So you are able to protect yourself specifically from poor cellular changes. So those are some of the areas where there's a higher risk group, people eating food grown in selenium-deficient soils. People who are following a vegan lifestyle might not have optimized levels of omega-3. People with diabetes, kidney disease, and GI tract disorders might be deficient in magnesium. Women and infants and underweight adolescents might be deficient in iron. Pregnant and breastfeeding women, people taking certain medications may find that they are very low in folic acid. And postmenopausal women, people not consuming dairy, vegans, may very well find that they are at risk for a calcium deficiency. I will be back soon with more information on higher risk groups to experience certain nutrient deficiencies.